This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Years ago, a book was written in the Christian realm entitled Evidence That Demands a Verdict. In 1964, another book was written in the political realm called None Dare Call It Treason. Today we want to take a look at evidence and, indeed, allegations of treason as it relates to a disputed election. And I'm so glad that you've joined us. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, Talk That Transforms. Today is no exception. Some of you have probably wondered why in the world we don't talk a little bit more about the election, why we don't talk a little bit more about what's going on. Well, one of the reasons is we don't have enough information. And without information, you don't have evidence. And without evidence, you don't have the ability to have a verdict. You don't understand. And people are very antsy. As a former trial attorney for 20 years, I have to tell you that the wheels of justice grind exceedingly slow and exceedingly fine, if the wheels of justice are grinding at all. And people get very nervous. They get very antsy. Clients are hard to control. They're hard to maintain because they want to get this thing dealt with. They want truth. They want to have their case resolved. And that's the way it is with we, the people here in America. We want our case resolved on either side. We want to know the bottom line. But the bottom line is not always that easy to find, particularly when there are those who want to hide the bottom line, who have been doing everything they could for several years in order to mask the bottom line and to destroy evidence or to make things appear to be other than what they really are. Today, we're going to see all of that as we talk about this matter on Viewpoint today. A hearing, well, not a hearing, but actually a press statement was made today in Atlanta with Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood. And so many Americans were there. It was almost like a pep rally in one sense. I happened to watch some of it on line. And it wasn't particularly helpful to me as a lawyer. It was more a bit of trying to help people, the American people who don't have an understanding of how law works and of how evidence works and about how courts work, to try to come to grips and be encouraged by where things stand at the moment. Today, our purpose is not to encourage, but rather to reveal. You see, you can't encourage until you have further information, enough information to be absolutely convinced. So we want to talk a little bit about evidence today. We want to talk about evidence that demands a verdict, but there are different levels of evidence, different levels of requirements of evidence, depending upon the particular case. We want to take a look at what those levels might be with regard to an election. But at this time, Lieutenant General Thomas McErnie, U.S. Air Force retired, said in a no-holds-barred interview that he doesn't believe the courts are likely to come through for President Trump. Despite massive amounts of evidence of widespread irregularities, many judges, he said, appear either unable or unwilling to sort through allegations of rigged voting machines and dozens of affidavits from witnesses to ballot stuffing, denial of Republican poll watchers from observing the process, evidence of more votes cast in hundreds of precincts that were registered to vote, and a host of other irregularities. So the general place the burden squarely on President Trump to use the emergency powers at his disposal and put down what he described as a coup d'etat in progress. In other words, an attempt to take over the state, the government. He said, when you coordinate 6 to 10 states using cyber warfare to change the outcome of the election in favor of whoever you want, these are treasonous acts. Now, that's what General McNerney said in an interview. He said these are not just fraudulent acts, they are treasonous acts. because it means changing the government. And when you add Russia, China, Iran, and foreigners into it, you complicate it and make it even more treasonous. And McErnie isn't just any retired general making these claims. He's highly decorated, having flown 400 combat missions over Vietnam. He was in charge of NORAD for Alaska and had a top security clearance with responsibility for the U.S. nuclear arsenal. He spent 16 years as a military analyst with Fox News. He said this was the worst election in the history of any democracy. He said, if you can see the work of the deep state, you can see the work of the deep state, which is complicit in this treason. Now, I want you to understand the breadth of what McInerney is saying, the general. He's saying that not only is it those who are carrying out the hands-on deception and voter fraud, but it's those who have coordinated it from the top. In other words, this is a very big deal. This is an effort to take over the government and to completely undermine the entire foundation of a democratic republic known as the United States of America. This general is serious. But it appears there aren't very many others that are very serious out there. Or maybe they're serious, but they're serious about something other than what you think they're serious about. Or maybe you just don't understand what they're serious about. And that's the problem. That's the problem with the coup d'etat, because those behind the scenes that are seeking to do what they do to undermine the government are deceptive. They're dealing deceptively. They're seductive, like Benedict Arnold. You remember Benedict Arnold was a very trusted general under General Washington. And he tried to sell out his country to the British. And from then on, traitors became known as Benedict Arnolds. We have a lot of Benedict Arnolds in our country today, according to General McInerney. And we need to take a look at this more seriously than perhaps we have. In other words, we need to call it what it really is. It's not just voting irregularities. It's the intentional effort to undermine and destroy a legitimate government. That's what the general is alleging. So, General McInerney says, that what Trump must do is put down this coup. He must invoke the executive order that Trump signed on September 12, 2018, allowing the president to declare a state of emergency related to foreign intervention in U.S. elections. He has got to declare a national emergency. What would that look like? We'll have to take further investigation as to what that might look like from the general's viewpoint. This is becoming more serious by the day, maybe by the minute. We'll be back with you to talk about this matter of evidence and treason. Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Which is more serious, to shoot a president or to destroy all of the legitimate votes that would keep a president in power? They both accomplish exactly the same thing, don't they? One, you can see on the outside clearly what the person intended. The other is hidden. And that's what makes it even more dangerous. Because It doesn't just involve an individual. It involves a collective, a collection of people, a wide collection of people who are conspiring together to do something monstrous. Basically, to prevent a duly elected person, elected under the auspices of the government and laws of the state, the government of the United States of America and its respective states, to serve as the leader of the republic. When you attack those votes, you have, in effect, attacked the individual. But you've attacked more than the individual. You've attacked the entire trust of the American people. A person that shoots a president isn't attacking the trust of the American people. He's just attacking the person that the people elected. But those who conspire together to destroy a legitimate vote are attacking the people themselves and the entire republic and the flag for which it stands. The flag standing for the republic. They're attacking everything known as the legitimate government known as the United States of America. Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? The problem is that our leaders, particularly in the news media, have not been prone to call things what they really are. They try to minimize. Everything today is put in euphemistic terms. So people aren't homosexual. They're not sodomizers. They're just gay. You get the point. Everything has to be dumbed down. Sin is no longer sin. It's just missing the mark or just making a mistake. We euphemize everything. And therefore, we euthanize the truth. We euthanize the truth. We put the truth to death because we refuse to call it what it really is. And so today on Viewpoint, using the words of other persons, leaders in the country, we're going to call things what they really are. And we began with General McInerney, who has come out with a very bold statement, and I dare say it at least borders on the truth, if not actually being the truth. He says that President Trump has to exercise his executive power as a national emergency. He has to declare a national emergency, and he should use the Insurrection Act, because we have an insurrection right now in this country. When you look at Antifa and BLM plus other groups, he must suspend habeas corpus, as President Lincoln did in 1861, as President Franklin Roosevelt did in 1942 when World War II started. McInerney said a silent coup is being perpetrated in plain view, and it could turn out violent, but so far it's remained bloodless. It's so important, he said, that this national emergency be declared and the president start arresting these people right away, because it's a national emergency. He said, I would declare martial law. This has never happened before. It's unprecedented and shows there was pre-planning across several states that do these treasonous acts, he said. And that's why it's not fraudulent voting. It's treason. Notice, to call it fraudulent voting is not to go to the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is that it's an attack upon the government, the legitimate government itself. They're trying to overturn this government, said General McInerney. He went on to say, if America doesn't wake up and realize what's happening, it will soon be too late. So he said, it's important for every American citizen to understand that you're now facing, for the first time, hybrid modern warfare where the enemy is unseen. It's stealthy. Be aware, America. Be afraid. Be concerned and rise up. We cannot let this election, these treasonous acts, this coup d'etat, to stand. Tough talk for troubled times. But sometimes we just have to tell things the way they really are. You can't just call divorce a breaking of affections. You can't just call fornication and adultery falling into sin. Isn't that what we're prone to do, though? We just don't want to call things what they really are. We're afraid. But there comes a time when somebody has to be courageous, and apparently it takes a general to be courageous for the rest. Dick Morris made a statement. Former Democratic strategist and White House advisor made a statement to Newsmax Daily, Newsmax TV yesterday. He said, actually on Monday, he said, "The Trump campaign's appeal to state legislatures is truly where we'll get our remedy on claims of voter fraud and election irregularities." Why? Because he doesn't think the courts have the guts to deal with it. And they're too politically oriented. They're not really acting as judges. They're acting as politicians. Referring to efforts in Pennsylvania, Morris said, where legislators have begun to the process of revoking the authority of the executive branch officials to certify electors of the Electoral College, and in Arizona, where Trump officials were there meeting on Monday with Republican lawmakers on a similar action, what's important is not so much what's said, but where it's said. And that's the state legislature in Arizona, which is stepping up to the plate and saying, this is our responsibility to decide who won the electors from Arizona, not the Secretary of State, not the elected officials, not even the governor, we, the legislature. And that's now happened in Pennsylvania and in Arizona. And Morris went on to say, I think that it's going to spread throughout the country. And this is truly where we'll get our remedy. Because the federal courts can only deal with constitutional issues. And the state courts can deal with all the voter fraud, but they don't want to because you often have democratically controlled elected judges. So this is finally a chance to get this before the state legislatures. So it's not just the Supreme Court, friends. It's the state legislatures. We're trying to give a more detailed composite of the status of this election debacle that is unfolding before our eyes, and where the rocks are being turned over to reveal the horrific deeds that have been in the process of being accomplished in order to destroy your vote. Another writes, an obscure law could be Trump's last bid to challenge election results. Congress has to certify the results of the election after the Electoral College casts the vote, the official vote for president on December 14th. An 1887 law mandates that Congress must meet on January 6th to take action. The law says that the House and Senate must meet in joint session that day to certify the results. But if a House member and senator team together, they're able to object to entire slates of presidential electors, and there are multiple opportunities for lengthy delays in the process since each state's electors must be certified separately. If a slate of electors is challenged, the House and Senate must go back to their chambers and debate the outcome before voting. If the Senate upholds a challenge to some presidential electors, it would almost certainly put the chamber at odds with the Democrat-run House victory. So, as Representative Matt Gaetz says from Florida, nothing is off the table. Potential challenges are seriously being considered by some members, and they're studying up on it. Meanwhile, Jenna Ellis, who is part of Trump's campaign legal team, cautioned, quote, until the Electoral College actually votes on December 14th, we do not have a president-elect. And she's right. She is absolutely right. So why has everybody been declaring, including Republicans, including Fox News, why have they all been declaring Joe Biden the president-elect. Because they want to. Because they want to. Because in their minds and in their hearts, this is what they want. And so, by doing that, they believe that they are going to move public opinion. In other words, take another vote among the people tacitly, public opinion, to accept a vote that is contested. And then use labels to so attack and diminish the nature of those the contest as to render it not only moot, but supposedly outrageous. So let's talk about the nature of evidence. Evidence that demands a verdict. And in the second half of the program, we're going to go through, I have a just, oh, probably 24 different illustrations, articles from around the country that are all recent, all in the last couple of days, that show how great this debacle is unfolding. And that it's far more than what you will hear from the pontificators on CNN or MSNBC or the New York Times or the LA Times or even Fox News. In many respects, Fox News has become complicit in the problem. Why? Because there are many that you did not know behind the scenes in Fox News who are liberals, who are never Trumpers, who have done everything they could to try to hide their hatred for Donald Trump. And now it's coming out. They think it's safe to bring it out now because of the contest. So let's talk about evidence. There are three different categories of evidence, basically. One is direct evidence. Another is circumstantial evidence. And another is what you might call inferential evidence. Normally, we talk about direct evidence and circumstantial evidence. Direct evidence consists of things like documents and testimony, whether it's live testimony or by reason of affidavits under penalty of perjury. That's direct testimony. Circumstantial testimony or circumstantial evidence is evidence that can be drawn by a jury or a judge based upon the various circumstances and how they occurred. And there's much of that going on in this electoral debate. For instance, when you have 2.5 million votes and only 1.8 million registered voters in a particular district, one could argue at very least that that's circumstantial evidence that there's fraud or some terrible mistake in the calculations of machines or persons in tabulating the vote. It does not take a Philadelphia lawyer. It doesn't even take anybody beyond the age of sixth grade to understand that that cannot be valid. You cannot have 2.5 million people voting when only 1.8 million have registered. Something is seriously wrong. And then, of course, there's inferential evidence, like a judge or a jury connecting the dots based upon their experience. All of those are coming into play here. Which will be persuasive for you? We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. None dare call it treason, and yet there's evidence that demands a verdict. Today on Viewpoint, we take a look. We're taking a look, a detailed look, perhaps in perhaps broader detail, and in many ways different than what you would normally hear on the various news media. We're trying to bring the pieces together in an understandable fashion because, for all practical purposes, you're the jury. I'm the attorney, and I'm trying to represent God's kingdom interests here. Not Republican interests, not Democratic interests, but God's kingdom interests. God is interested in truth. It is Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no man will come to the Father but by me. He also said, if you will continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. By the way, he didn't say it will set you free. He said it will make you free. In other words, truth has a way of working on us to make us free. Now, truth is desired in the inward parts. God desires truth in the inward parts of a person. It's not about politics. It's not about Republicans and Democrats. It's not about elephants and donkeys. It's not about liberalism and conservatism, ultimately. Right now, it's about truth. Where does the truth lie with regard to this election? As Christians, whether we be pastor or people, that's what we should be looking at. We should desire the truth wherever it lies. Dr. Michael Brown has come out with a series of articles over the past couple of weeks concerning all of these issues, and his last one says, have we completely lost our minds or souls? He's talking about the seeming propensity of evangelical and Christians and conservatives to create a kind of political idolatry here and be more interested in winning than in truth. If we're just interested in the truth, then we can fight for the truth. We can do everything that we can to argue the truth, to present the truth. But then ultimately, we have to rest in the truth. And there are those who are even calling for certain forms of violence and so on, or at least seemingly calling for certain forms of violence, and it's incendiary. We have to be very careful. As Christians, that cannot be where we're looking right now. We want the truth. Wherever it is, we want the truth. We're not in a cheering section. Unless it be for God, his kingdom, and his righteousness. We should desire righteousness, that's right ways-ness from God's viewpoint. And regardless of what political party you belong to, or think you belong to, or root for, if you're rooting for a party more than you are for the truth, you're an idolater. I'm sorry, you're an idolater. Going to call it what it is. You're an idolater. If you desire victory for a party over the truth in this matter, wherever it lies, you're an idolater, and you need to repent. You need to go before God and ask you to deal with the situation because you've allowed maybe your emotions, you've allowed your emotions to take over. This is not about emotions now, friends. Yes, there are emotions. Yes, we can be perturbed, we can be upset, we can be disturbed, even infuriated, angry about what has taken place to defraud the people in their sacred right to vote and the value of that sacred vote. That's called righteous indignation. But if we allow that to take over our inward being, what we will end up doing is defaming the very Lord that we claim to love. We will actually end up defrauding the kingdom of God by embracing the spirit of the world, the carnal nature, in fighting what otherwise is fundamentally a spiritual battle. And this election is a spiritual battle. We've been portraying it that way for over a year, long before the election. It's a battle, ultimately, about whether God will govern or there will be a global government where man exclusively will govern as opposed to God. John Kerry has made it very plain, selected by Joe Biden as the climate czar. And he's come out and said, look, when Mr. Biden takes over, you're going to see things move very, very rapidly toward the new global reset. Much more rapidly than you ever thought. What is he talking about? He's talking about the new world order, the new global government. That's where everything is headed, and that's the reason why the massive deception that has taken place in this election. It's not fundamentally about Democrats and Republicans. It's not even about whether you're basically a liberal or conservative. It's about your God view. And those who have been seeking to defraud in this election, to undermine it, have a God view. Actually, their so-called worldview is not a God view at all. It's a man view. They believe that man can become God in his own right. And that's why they are moving for a new global world order that will be ruled by a man that ultimately Satan will invest himself in as the ultimate deceiver, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist. That's where it's going. So at root, this is really a spiritual issue, a spiritual battle. But it's being played out on terra firma, on this earth. It's being played out in the election arena. We need to be very careful, Christians, that we don't get sucked in to the carnal spirit, because that will lead us back into the very thing that those who are trying to destroy this election are attempting to do, and that is turn this into a man-based thing rather than God-based. I hope you're listening. Now, there are three other levels of evidence that we need to talk about to understand before we go into a lot of the different details that have been gleaned over the past 2 days. There are three levels of proof. How much evidence, in other words, how persuasive does the evidence have to be in order to reach a verdict? The first level and the lowest level is preponderance of the evidence. That means just over 50%. 51% of the evidence in your mind is sufficient to make a judgment, make a determination, or a jury verdict in the context of a case that demands only preponderance of the evidence. The next level is called clear and convincing evidence. Clear and convincing evidence. That's a much higher level of evidence. And then the final level of evidence, which is the highest level of evidence that we have in our criminal courts, that would allow you to take away life or liberty from a person, is called beyond a reasonable doubt. Beyond a reasonable doubt. It doesn't say beyond any doubt. It says beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, which one of these levels do you think is applicable with regard to the election? It's preponderance of the evidence, friends. It's the lowest level, not the highest, the lowest level. Why is that? Well, because, you see, 51% of the people voting are persuasive. They determine the election. Just a preponderance. Therefore, the standard of proof, the standard of evidence required to overturn an election is the same as that required to establish it. So if those who have been conspiring together to undermine the election have distorted that preponderance that was necessary to gain an election, then that must be set aside under the understanding that there has been sufficient evidence or proof, either circumstantial or inferential or by direct documents and testimony, to say this election is not valid, or the election in a particular district is not valid. Then the question becomes, okay, now what? What is to be done? And we've answered that question in part in the early part of the program today. One writer says, if we don't have election justice, there will be no election peace. And that's true. You hear the phrase all the time by Black Lives Matter, no justice, no peace. Actually, the reality is it's no peace, no justice. Now, we don't have peace in the country. And the reason we don't have peace in the country is because we have rejected the Prince of Peace. Are you listening? Particularly the Democratic Party has openly and notoriously rejected the Prince of Peace. And many Republicans have rejected the Prince of Peace. That's why we have no peace, and therefore why we have no election peace, and therefore no justice. So what must we do?
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. We're taking a look now in this final segment of the program today about a sampling. This is not a complete expression, but rather just a sampling of the manifestation, you could say evidence, both testimonial, documentary, and circumstantial, and from which, given your experience as a human being, you can draw inferences. Legitimately, you can draw inferences as to where the truth lies. So I'm going to go through a number of these, and then we'll conclude about 10 minutes from now. We'll conclude by saying, okay, now what? What do we do? Where do we stand? First, the crowd gasps amid testimony of ease in hacking vote counting machines. This happened in Arizona on Monday. Your vote is not as secure as your Venmo account, an expert witness told lawmakers, and people gasped. Really? And that was not all that happened there. The next, a Trump lawsuit presents video evidence of Democrats' cash for votes scheme. This, friends, is not, this is not hearsay. This is video evidence, actual evidence. A Trump campaign lawsuit in Nevada provided video evidence that Democrats are running a cash for votes scheme on Native American reservations, offering T-shirts, gas cards, and raffle tickets in exchange for voting. The lawsuit contends Biden got 40,000 more votes in the scheme than did Trump in a state Biden won by about 33,000 votes. In other words, something is radically wrong. This could not have happened but for what seems to be a cash for votes scheme, which is fundamentally illegal. Next, a Dominion contractor drops a bombshell at the Michigan hearing. The Michigan hearing occurred yesterday. An IT worker, internet technology worker, trained and contracted by Dominion Voting Systems, who worked at the tabulating center in Detroit, claims she saw election workers illegally rescanning batches of 50 ballots for Joe Biden over and over and over to create more votes. Melissa Carone, who spoke to the Michigan Senate Oversight Committee at a hearing Tuesday in Lansing, Michigan, said she was at the TCF Center for a total 27 hours beginning the morning of Election Day. She said, "What I witnessed at the center was simply fraud the whole 27 hours I was there. There were batches of ballots being run through the tabulating machines numerous times, being counted 8 to 10 times. I watched it with my own eyes." She said that the election official in charge of counting the mail-in ballots, Daniel Baxter, and at least 90% of the workers were in on the whole thing. In other words, it was a conspiracy. She said there was not a single ballot the whole night, the whole 27 hours I was there, that I saw that was for Donald Trump. Not one single ballot. What would you draw from that? As a reasonable person, remember, a jury is made up of 12 reasonable men or women. And then you have people on the various news agencies. They call them news agencies. They're not. They're propaganda agencies. They're not interested in truth. They're interested in an agenda. But you have them saying that there's no evidence of widespread fraud. You've got to be kidding me. Wait till you hear the rest of this. A poll challenger, Dominion contractor, says voting machines in Detroit were connected to the internet. What does that mean? That means that those voting machines could be accessed by people in Spain, in Germany, in Venezuela, in all the places where these votes supposedly were being counted. Rand Paul, senator, points to four wild data dumps that put Biden ahead. And he's urging Americans to take a close look at the early morning hours after Election Day when vote dumps in four states put Joe Biden ahead of President Trump. Trump was way ahead. Here's the numbers. The batch updates that raise concerns include an update in Michigan at 6:31 a.m. in the morning. On November 4th, showed 141,000 votes for Biden and only 6,000 votes for Trump. An update in Wisconsin at 3:42 a.m. showed 143,000 votes for Joe Biden and 25,000 votes for Trump. A vote update in Georgia at 1:34 a.m. showed 136,000 votes for Biden and 29,000 votes for Trump. An update in Michigan at 3:50 a.m. showed 54,000 votes for Biden and only just under 5,000 votes for Trump. Notice all of these occurred in the wee hours of the morning when the dumps were made. Voting had ceased. The counting had actually ceased. These were vote dumps of hundreds of thousands of ballots, friends. Phony ballots. The anomalies are more than the margin of victory in all three states, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia, which collectively represent 42 electoral votes. In other words, without the vote dumps, Trump would be on his way today to a second term, said Rand Paul. The report suggests the vote dumps were especially anomalous and merit further investigation. They were, the report says, more extreme than 99% of all updates nationally in terms of their deviation from statistical norms. Sidney Powell, attorney, now says witnesses involved in her 2020 election legal ventures are being threatened and in one case hurt. She said some people, including those who are on government rolls, are unable to come forward without certain protections in place. Powell added that the potential witnesses are in danger of losing their jobs and their lives have been threatened. Obviously, those who are threatening aren't interested in the truth. They're interested in preventing the truth. Should that not say something to you as an honorable person desiring truth in the inward parts? A Michigan witness says that military votes, which looked like Xerox copies, went 100% to Joe Biden. She testified. They were supposedly military ballots, which looked like Xerox copies, and went 100% for Joe Biden, which, by the way, is exactly the opposite of historical norms where military ballots normally go for a Republican. They were all for Biden across the board, and there wasn't a single voter registered. Not one of them was a registered voter. Anybody listening yet? In Georgia, a judge has had to issue three orders now to prohibit wiping of Dominion machines. They wanted to erase, alter, destroy, remove the Dominion machines. And in fact, they did actually remove one, notwithstanding. In fact, they removed the server. Why? Why are they so interested in doing that? In removing the evidence? Because they know they're guilty as sin. A prominent witness has reportedly joined the team of attorney Sidney Powell and has stated under oath that there were massive computer fraud in the 2020 election, all of it intended to secure a victory for Joe Biden. The expert is Dr. David Kirshavarez Nia, whom some call one of the weightiest names in the world when it comes to sniffing out cybersecurity problems. Then, this article from the World Tribune. Who is Alexander Lazarevic? Dominion Voting Systems employees, past and present, are covering their tracks online and disappearing. This guy was a software engineer in Serbia for Dominion. He authored a key piece of the Dominion algorithm software. He's listed as a security software developer for Dominion voting systems. His papers and experience talk like he's a super accomplished big data person. So why does he have two different profiles, and why did the profile associated to him get deleted once they started being looked into? An alleged anonymous email from Arizona tech worker claims 35,000 votes given to Democrats in Pima County. 35,000 fraudulent votes given to each of the Democratic candidates in Pima County, Arizona. Dominion server removed from Fulton County, Georgia, at the very moment lawyers were seeking a restraining order. Why did they want to remove it? Wisconsin absentee ballot abuses affected 220,000 votes. We don't have time to go into the details. We're running out of time here. In Nevada, a judge orders inspection of election equipment. Some 280,000 ballots in transfer from New York to Pennsylvania disappeared. A witness has revealed multi-state illegal efforts by USPS workers, that's United States Postal Service workers, to influence the election in at least 3 of 6 swing states. You see how broad this is? Next heading. Postal Service contractor delivered 144,000 ballots that disappeared. Startling whistleblower claims casting doubt on the 2020 election include the disappearance of up to 288,000 mail-in ballots, the improper backdating of another 100,000, and the dumping of mail promoting President Trump while mail for Joe Biden was delivered. In Traverse City, Michigan, Trump campaign mail was put in bins labeled undeliverable bulk business mail, while the same type of mail for Joe Biden was ordered to be delivered on time. Pennsylvania lawmakers insist certain election officials have ignored numerous illegal acts. Ignored by the governor, the secretary of state, and election officials. So the lawmakers state that the General Assembly in Pennsylvania now is going to take back and reserve the power to designate presidential electors for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We're clawing our Election College votes back and will not release them. That's what's happening now. In Arizona, they're doing the same thing. At a public hearing, the state legislature called for colleagues to support an upcoming resolution that would delay the release of the state's Electoral College votes and put it under the legislature rather than the governor or the secretary of state. This is happening everywhere. And notwithstanding what you heard in the so-called news, the Department of Justice will continue to probe claims of election fraud, as were noted today. What can we do? The first thing we can do is pray. The second thing we can do is be patient. Let justice prevail. Do you desire truth? Really? Are you sure? In the inward parts, let's be lovers of truth. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.